of Jesus. Amen. You are in the house of the Father. We're supposed to be smiling. Amen. And this is the day the Lord has made for us to rejoice and to be glad in this day. Amen. There are so many people that desire to see this day, but they couldn't see it, unfortunately. There are some that desire to be in the house of the Lord, but they're in hospitals. Some are in prisons. Amen. But here we are. We are in the house of the Lord, and we need to rejoice. Many thanks to the leadership of the preaching team. Many thanks to the elders and the leadership, the total leadership of this Church of God, for allowing me to stand before you again. And I think God has got a divine appointment for us this morning as we continue with our series on authentic faith. Amen. From the book of James. It's been a wonderful, wonderful time, you know, going through this book, and I'm sure we have learned quite a lot from the series, and we are trusting God even for the next series that will start maybe in a few weeks from now, that God will lead us into another wonderful series that is going to, you know, jack us up, that's going to enrich our faith and our relationship with God. Amen. For today, our focus will be pray when you are chief. Amen. And we'll focus on, and we'll look at James 5, verse 13. James chapter 5, verse 13. Before we go to James 5, verse 13, or before we read that verse, let's just recap on what prayer is, because we need to know prayer. I remember last time, I think it was in October last year, I was given an opportunity to preach on prayer. And I just want to go through that briefly as part of the background. What is prayer? Prayer is a means of communication with God. And it's a believer's expression to God. For example, thanksgiving to God. Thank God I'm alive today. That's a prayer. Thank God I'm able to stand or to come to the house of God. That's prayer. We express our feelings to God, to say thank you, or if you are asking for something to God, you express your feeling to say, Lord, this is what I want from, because you are my Father. Amen. And last time we mentioned to say Christianity is a relationship and fellowship with God. And prayer is one way that we can maintain that relationship with God, besides reading the Word of God. We have to pray to God, and our prayer has to be filled with the scriptures of God that we are reading, so that we maintain that relationship, that a fellowship with Him. And in today's sharing, as we look at James 5 verse 13, it says, is anyone among you suffering? He must pray. Is anyone joyful? Amen. Is anyone joyful? He is to praise the Lord. Amen. That's what the Word of God is saying there on the slide. Amen. Now, Brother Tone mentioned something very critical last time. When we look at suffering, to say we need to praise the Lord. And that's a most important thing for a child of God who has got a relationship with God. To say when you are going through difficult times, you are going through tribulations, pains, or sicknesses, that is the time to praise the Lord. And He mentioned to us, or He advised us to say, we have to pray to the will of God, not to our own will, to the will of God, that the will of God must prevail during that moment that we are going through suffering. Now, in the Bible, last time when I shared in October, I mentioned about seven main types of prayers. And two of those are coming from Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. It says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Amen. With thanksgiving, make your requests be known to God. Even when you are suffering, even when you are not suffering, let your request be known to God with thanksgiving, without complaining, without being sulky, without doing it for the sake of doing it. But it has to be thanksgiving that comes from a pure heart, a heart that is pure without sin. Number two was the prayer of worship. Prayer of worship is also similar to thanksgiving. Amen. Like we worshiped this morning. Wonderful, you know, songs that we sang. Amen. And this worship to God must be focused on who God is and what God has done in our lives. So, in our today's sharing, in this series, we supposed to worship or to praise God or to give praise to God using prayers that focus on God, who He is, what He has done. Amen? So that our relationship with God may be maintained. Now, as believers, how do we cheerfully, as we've titled our sharing today, how do we cheerfully pray to God? Number one, like I said, we need to acknowledge who God is. Who is our God? We are talking about our Creator. We are talking about our Father. That is who He is. He's our Father. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the Lord of all lords that we are talking about. We are talking about the King of all kings, the everlasting one, the God who is, who was, and who is to come. That is the nature of God that we are talking about. That's the Father that we have to pray to, the God who knows your end from the beginning, the God who sits at the throne, divine throne, above heavens, not even in heaven, but above heavens. We are talking about the God who is unchangeable. When we start acknowledging Him like that, we are worshiping Him. We are praising Him. Amen? We are praising Him. We sort of look at His real identity and acknowledge that identity. The other way of cheerfully praising Him, as we praise Him, we need to know what God is able to do. Amen? Even in our prayer, we remind Him, Lord, You are able to heal me. You are able to sustain me. You are the God that is able to enable me to do everything. Once we have that attitude, amen, we will continue to praise the Lord, to say, we cannot do anything without Him. In Him, we live. In Him, we move. In Him, we have our being. In Him, we can do everything. Even me standing here, you sitting there, it's by the grace of God. And once we start having that in our minds, our attitude will change to know that we have to praise Him. In other words, we have to depend on Him, because we cannot do anything without Him once we acknowledge what He's able to do. The pride will start going quietly, the pride that may be within us, the fear will start disappearing in our lives. You know, the thoughts of, you know, defeat will start going, because you start associating, identifying what God is able to do, or who God is and what He's able to do. Amen? The other thing that we have to know in our praise, as we cheerfully give praise to God, is, why do we have to praise Him? We have to praise Him because that brings honor and glory to Him. That it's one way of respecting Him. Amen? It's one way of respecting Him. And the reason for our praise is to honor Him. To honor Him. To honor Him. I can give you an example in the book of John. So, John chapter 11. We see the story of Lazarus. Amen. And Jesus was in Bethany, was outside the city somewhere with the disciples, and received the message to say, your friend is sick, through the sisters that sent the message. Amen. And Jesus delayed for some days, 3 days. Amen. But eventually He left. Now, before He left the place to go and see Lazarus, there is a statement that He mentioned in, it should be in verse 4. Amen. That this sickness will not result in what? In death. It's for the honor and the glory of God through His Son Jesus. Amen. So we praise in order to honor God, who He is, what He's able to do, what he has done in our lives. What he's about to do in our life. For a faithful heart will always thank God even in advance before the thing that you are expecting God to do for you manifests in your life. How do we praise this God? That's the question. I'm sure it's on the slide there. One, we can praise the Lord through our prayers. But one important catalyst that we need to have, even before we start praying, we need to ask the Lord to give us the Holy Spirit. And one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, according to Galatians chapter 6, is the fruit of what? Joy. Love, joy. You talk of peace, patience. You talk of kindness. You talk of the mercy of God. You talk of faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But joy is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. We need to ask God to give us that fruit of the Holy Spirit. Lord, give me that joy. That joy that I can praise you. That joy that I can worship you. That joy that I can dance for you. That joy that I can clap for you. You need to have that joy. It's key. And we should start asking God for that joy of the Lord. The Bible says the joy of the Lord brings what? Give us what? Strength. We cannot praise the Lord without that joy. It's a catalyst. We need it. Even today I'm standing here is because of, we are standing here, we are in the house of the Lord, we praise together, we sang together because of the joy of God. Amen. The other way, the other method is through the instruments that we play here. We can praise the Lord with those instruments. We can dance, we are in the house of the Father. Or we are the children of God. Even in our homes, we can praise the Lord and dance. We can clap. We can do everything. If it means shouting, you shout according to how the Spirit of the Lord leads you. You are praising the Lord. You are acknowledging His goodness. And you can do this whether you are sick, whether you are going through a difficult time, whether things are looking impossible, you can still praise the Lord. Whether you have got that contract that you have been believing and trusting God for, whether you have succeeded with a project that you have been doing, we can still praise the Lord. Because He is our enabler. Because He is the God who gives us strength. Because He is the source of the wisdom that we use to do anything. Because we are here because of Him. He sustains us. He watches over our lives. He never slumber nor sleep for our sake. He is everything to us. He is everything to you. Sorry for that. When do we praise the Lord? Do we have to wait until we are laughing or we are rejoicing? No. We have to praise the Lord all the time. Again, the book of Philippians that we read says, rejoice in the Lord always. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. And Paul says, I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Amen. The Lord is near us all the time. Do not be anxious about anything. And this could be according to Amplified, say, any situation or circumstance. Do not be anxious. Amen. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests. Present your needs. Present your wants from God. To God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart, your mind in Christ Jesus, and that will be yours. That peace that transcends all understanding will be yours. Once we start praising the Lord, honoring the Lord, amen, all the time when we are rejoicing, even when things are looking impossible to us, you say, I've got my Father who is able to do that which man cannot do. I have got my Father who is on my side. And you never leave me nor forsake. You acknowledge him in that way. When things are looking impossible, even when things are looking impossible, you still acknowledge him to say, it's by the grace of God that I am married today. It's by the grace of God that I've got this job. It's by the grace of God that I'm able to, it's by the grace of God that I'm able to walk today. It's by the grace of God that we can gather together like this in the house of God. We acknowledge him. Amen. And that is the peace of God that we are talking about. It surpasses everything. It surpasses even the wealth that people are running after. Amen. Because of the joy of the Lord. That Paul is encouraging us to say, we need to rejoice all the time. Every day. Every day. Every day. Now, as faithful Christians, we have to praise him and give thanks in every situation, like I said, and both in good and hard times, in sickness or in good health, in temptations, like we shared last time, I was preaching on temptations. We have to thank God, because you don't know that maybe through that same temptation, God is speaking something for you. God is warning you. He wants to slow you down, but you have to go through difficult times sometimes so that he can bring us closer to himself. He can humble us that we don't allow pride that may bring a distance between God, I mean between ourselves and God. However, as we praise this God, it is good to remember that our praise must be authentic. Amen. Our praise, for our prayers, we worship this Lord God, must be authentic. It must be sincere. Amen. From our hearts. There must be no grudge, no anger, no frustration, no sin within us. Otherwise, our praise is nothing. Amen. Because that sin is going to bring distance between ourselves and God. Even if we shout, we dance, we jump, we do us, we cut ourselves, God will not receive our praise, will not even acknowledge it to say, Brother Trevor or my son Trevor is worshiping me. It has to come from a pure heart. Authentic. Authentic. And we need to have faith for us to praise the Lord. So our prayers has to be authentic. The next thing, or the other thing, is our prayers must be filled with the word of God. And I mentioned that in my introduction, that we have to be people that read the word of God, understand the word of God. And I love Crossways because we emphasize on what? The word of God. We don't want to play with the word of God. We want to be serious with the word of God. Read the word of God so that when we are praying, prayer must be filled with those scriptures. Because the scriptures that we are reading in the Bible, these are the promises God has given for us. So we remind the Lord. Amen. We remind the Lord in our prayers. For your word declares, Lord, that you shall never leave me nor forsake me. You are my healer. And by your stripes, Lord, I'm healed. We remind him of his promises in the word. And if you don't know the word of God, you cannot praise him using the scriptures. Amen. Using the scriptures that we have. The other element that you should consider when we are praising the Lord is to pray with total submission to God. Focusing on God. Total submission with God. I mean on God. And focusing on God and seeking again his will, like Brother Ton reminded us. His will and purpose. His plan. Our prayer should be aligned to what God has taught us in the word of God. Amen. It's very, very important. Now let's just look at some of the examples in the Bible. Because you may say, Dan, you are talking about praise or praising the Lord or praying to God joyfully. Where is it said in the Bible? Let me just highlight a few examples in the Bible. Let's start from the chosen tribe, the Israelites. They leave Egypt after suffering for so many years and going through a lot of trials, a lot of temptation, hardship. They leave Egypt. Immediately they leave Egypt, they encountered with the Red Sea. They start wondering, How are we going to make it? And we know what happened. God came through. Amen. Using the man of God, Moses. And they got on the other side. That's when they realized the importance of God. Amen. Exodus 15 verse 1 to 18. Amen. They started praising the Lord. Miriam, is it the sister of Moses, was together with Moses. They laid the praise. They acknowledged what God has done. In fact, they started acknowledging who God is, what he's able to do. They saw it with their eyes that he made a way where they thought there was no way. And all of them, no single life amongst the Israelites were lost on that day. But their enemies died. They all drowned. Who were following them. Amen. It's because they saw the hand of God. The next example comes from 2 Samuel chapter 6, 14 to 15. Or you can read the whole chapter. We see David, King David, dancing when the ark of the Lord was brought into the city of David. Amen. The ark of the Lord, which represented the presence of God. The king himself danced with might. The king himself disrobed. In fact, he removed his top. Amen. Just to dance and to rejoice for the presence of the Lord. I think we've got a reason also to dance in the house of the Lord. We've got a reason to dance also when we are alone in our homes for who God is. When we acknowledge that God is with us. God has been with us. And he'll be with us even in future. He danced, and unfortunately the wife, Michal, the daughter of Saul, she started looking at this man and said, how can the king be dancing in front of the maids? This is an embarrassment. Amen. And when David got home, she started rebuking him. Amen. But David, King David, had to confirm to say, even when I was with your father, you couldn't do this. I couldn't do this. Oh, I could do this when I was with your father. Even now, I have to dance for my God. So I don't care what you think about this situation. I'm trying to paraphrase. It's not exactly what it says. But at the end of it, oh, God received his praise that he was giving. The dancing, the rejoice, the sacrifices of those animals that he had to offer to God. God received it joyfully or gladly. And unfortunately to the wife, she couldn't even conceive. Amen. She couldn't conceive. Her womb was closed. The other example in the Bible is in Acts chapter 13 verse 22. After removing Saul, God made David the king, and he testified concerning him. I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Amen. That's the kind of relationship we should have with God, where God acknowledges who we are to him. Amen. Who we are. Why? Because David was a psalmist. David was humble. David acknowledged God. Amen. In every situation. David was devoted to God. Despite of his poor background, he was closer to God. He was faithful to God. He was reverent to God. He was repentant to God. Even when he made mistakes with Bathsheba and all the concubines, he repented. He acknowledged his mistakes and God forgave him. Amen. He loved God. That's why he had to sing all those wonderful songs that we sing in the book of Psalms. Because of his commitment to God. What about Jesus? Another example. When Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem. Amen. We see that when he asked his disciples in Luke chapter 19 verse 37 to 40. Triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Riding on a donkey. Amen. The Bible says when he got on that donkey, started riding, going towards Jerusalem, the city. People started removing their clothes, putting the branches, singing Hosanna in the highest. Amen. Praising the Lord. Amen. And the Pharisees and all the elders started rebuking. You know, please, Tell these people to stop making noise. Whatever they are doing is disturbing the city. They are bringing commotion in the city. And listen to what Jesus said. Hallelujah. He said, when Jesus came near the place where the road goes to Mount Olive, the crowd of disciples began to joyfully praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Amen. Verse 38, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said, Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, that was the response of Jesus. If they keep quiet, the stone will cry out. If they keep quiet, stop praising the Lord, giving thanks to God, acknowledging that here comes the King of the Jews. Here comes the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Amen. He says God will send, will bring these stones, will make these stones to start praising the Lord instead if people don't do it. And that's a warning to us. We may think, no, we are very reserved, and sanctimonious, we can't dance for the Lord. God can use anything to honor him. Amen. That's a warning to us as well, that we need to praise God all the time. We need to honor him. We need to glorify him. The other example, just as a reminder, I was even telling Brother Ton last Sunday, to say, if you look at the time that during the ministry of Jesus Christ, each time he performed a miracle, a lot of people were rejoicing. Amen? People were amazed and they were rejoicing, giving thanks to who? To God for what they had witnessed, for what they had seen. Even the recipients of those miracles, they also praised the Lord. Their lives were never the same. So even with us, as we are coming to church and we give testimonies, we have to rejoice. We have to be a church that acknowledges those miracles, to say God has done it. And we don't even have to to only give testimonies even outside, so that people will know to say, indeed, God is able. God is powerful. God fights for his people. God is a caring God. Amen. He is a wonder of God. As I conclude, let me just read. Can take us through as I conclude, let's just go through Psalm 121 and see, and read, go through it and digest it. This is one of the psalms that I like. One of the psalms, there are so many psalms that I like in the Bible. But this one is one of those that usually I like. The Bible says, I lift up my eyes to the mountain or to the hills. Where does my help come from? When we lift in our difficult times or in our good times, when we lift our eyes to the hills, where does our help come from? And this is what the psalm is saying. Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. It identifies who God is. That prayer, amen, or that psalm says, my help comes from who? The Lord. Who is the maker of heaven and earth? It's God Almighty. Jesus. Amen. This God will not let our foot or your feet or your foot to sleep. Amen. Because he who watches over you is faithful. He's merciful. He's wonderful. He who watches over you and me does not slumber nor sleep. He's always awake. He's always aware what we are doing, where we are. He's aware even where we stay. At any particular time, wherever we are, he's aware, because he's always with us. He watches over Israel or members of Crossways Church. He does not slumber nor sleep. Number 5, the Lord watches over. Acknowledge this. And because of that, we can rejoice and thank him. To say, Lord, you are the God that watch over me. You are the shade at my right hand. You are there to comfort me. Amen. Even if the sun comes, Amen. The sun will rise and come. Oh, those are difficult times. The Lord, because it's the shade at our right hand, He will still comfort us. He will still see us through in our storms. Amen. Even during the night time, amen, the moon or the stars cannot harm us. Why? God is all with us on our side. He's still with us. He's the shade at our right hand. Amen. This Lord will keep us from all harm, all injustices, all persecutions. You guard us from all difficult times. You'll be with us because He's a good God. That's why He watches over our lives. The Lord will watch over our coming and going, both now and forever. Wherever we are, whatever we are doing, this God will be with us. That psalm, you know, encourages me. It gives me hope that this God never slumber nor sleep. This God is always on my side. This God is my enabler. This God is my sustainer. This God is the bless of my life. This God is the rock on which I stand. This God is my healer. Because He's always there. For whatever I ask from Him, He will give it to me. Even if He delays to give to me, I still praise Him. I still give thanks to Him. Because I know it within my heart that He's not a man that should lie. Nor a son of man that He can change His mind. Because He's faithful. Today, whatever you are going through, whatever situation you are at, whether you are having a good time, please remember to acknowledge this God and give thanks to Him. Whether you are going through difficult times, I emphasize on it, please praise the Lord and the enemy will be put to shame. Especially when you are going through difficult times and you are praising Him. You are seeking for His way, for His purpose. The enemy is put to shame. Because you start wondering, how can this person, I've tried to oppress her, I've tried this, but he or she's still praising the Lord. What else can I do? This person, instead of lamenting, this person, instead of complaining, he's still thanking God. He will eventually just give up. Amen. Just like he gave up when Jesus reminded him of who he is in the time that he tempted him in the wilderness. May the God bless you. May the God encourage you with this message that has been shared. Thank you. God bless you. Let's just pray.